target audience. Another one that is associated with that one is fake news. Oh, we all heard about the word fake, the two words fake and news. That is not real news. It's just disinformation. Fake news, supposed to be the type of a yellow journalism that consists of deliberate misinformation or hoax, is spread via traditional print and also via the news media or even online through social media. Now, you also may have heard about half-truth, a deceptive statement that includes some elements of truth. But the false statement that is partially truth, a true statement that is taken out of a context with the intent to deceive, to misrepresent the truth. By the way, all this that we are saying apply when sometimes people take the Bible and misuse the Bible and lie about the Bible by using half-truth, misinformation, fake news instead of good news. Because every time somebody takes the gospel and uses with the intent to deceive, it becomes fake news instead of good news. Defamation, when people talk bad about other people, even when Christians claim to be Christians, yet they act like they are not Christians. Now, this one is a laughing matter. This one, it says, an honest lie. It's kind of contradiction, right? How can it be a lie and be honest? But let me explain to you. This called an honest lie or confabulation is a verbal statement or action that describes a history in an inaccurate way, or a background or a present situation. There is generally no intent to misinform, apparently. Of course there is. And the individual sometimes claims to be unaware that the information is false. Basically, what they do is that they are very anxious to grab information and pass on without doing the hard work and investigating. They just pass on. And so they later on, they say, oh, I'm sorry, it was an honest lie. I did not know that this was false. But they did not make enough effort to check before they pass on information. So the honest, so-called honest lie actually is nothing honest about it. It's just an excuse that people use to avoid responsibility for the carelessness of sharing something that was and is actually a lie. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce this next one here, and I hope that you do understand, because some of you may not even be familiar, or maybe you never heard this term. Jocose lies. Jocose lies, it says, I lie that meant to be as a joke. Have you ever been in a situation when somebody's lying to you, and when they are caught in their lie, they say, oh, no, I was just joking. Jocose lies is intended to, and is understood as a joke, like everybody. Everybody thinks that it's just a joke. Teasing and irony are some examples of this kind of lies. You know that in London, Great Britain, there is a club called the Click Track Club. Every year they have a competition to see who becomes the biggest liar. And they even give them award them a trophy for the winner. Now, here in the United States, they also have one. They call it Burlington Liars Club. Every year they have a competition. And every year they give a title to one person as the world's champion liar. By the way, this title in itself is a liar, because they do this in the United States and they call a world champion liar. It should call the United States stamp a liar, but not the world. So even the title is a lie in itself. Lying by omission. It is when a person tells most of the truth, but leaves out a few details, very important details, with the intent to obscure the truth. And here's one that most of us sometimes become victims of. Puffery. P-U-F-F-E-R-Y. Puffery is an exaggerated claim typically found in advertising and publicity announcements. Don't you worry when you hear a commercial that somebody tells you in a few seconds, oh, this medication is gonna do this, and then they spend three times more time saying, but be careful because this may cause this. By the time, if you listen that carefully, you say, if I'm taking this medication, I'll be dead. But they have to do that because they are more concerned about protecting their health, financially health, I mean, than actually provide you with something that will heal you. Statements like these are unlikely to be true, but it's hard to prove that they are false. And so they don't violate any trade laws because it is very hard to prove that they are false and that their intent was to misguide people. Let me illustrate to you. A store manager heard this clerk telling a customer. This is what the clerk said to the customer. No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while. And it doesn't look like as if we will get some any soon. Horrified, the manager at a distance heard what the clerk just told the customer and ran over before the customer left the store and says, of course, we will have some soon. We placed an order last week. And the customer, confused, left the store. Then the manager called the clerk aside and very angry said to the clerk, never, 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 never say we are out of anything. Say we have got it in an order and it is still coming. And then he calmed down a little bit and then said, now tell me, what did she want? And a little bit confused, the clerk said, rain, sir. We are talking about rain. Another type of lie, brothers and sisters, is perjury. If you sign your income tax, or if you sign any contract, if you bought a house, there is always, before you sign, a warning that all the declaration, all the information that you enter in is the truth. And if you sign and it's false, you may have committed a crime and you may be brought charged against you. So that's why it's so important before you sign anything, especially if it's a contract, read and make sure that you enter the right information, because you may commit the crime of perjury by lying, by providing false information. Lying a trade when a seller of a product or a service advertises untrue facts about a product or service in order to increase sales. Many countries and states have enacted consumer protection laws intended to combat this kind of fraud. And what is a fraud anyway? Fraud is when people lie with the intent to induce another person or people to believe in a lie in order to secure material or financial gain for lying. Another one is the whistle word. I found this one very interesting. Actually, I was even surprised that such thing even exists, but it is exists and is used constantly in legal settings. They are familiar with this. It says the whistle word, an informed term for words and phrases aimed at creating an impression that a specific or meaningful statement has been made. But you know what is the what is important about this, why they call whistle word, is because it's intentionally left vague. So if later on the person is caught, the person may deny and say, I did not mean this. What I meant is something else. That's why a formal term for this whistle word is equivocation. That's even become a legal term used by many people. Now, have you found people that sometimes they do the opposite of exaggeration things? They minimize things. It's when they try to deceive by trying to create things that make it so little that they eventually can deny. And the opposite is exaggeration. People sometimes, you know, the most common that we laugh about sometimes when people say, I caught a fish this big. And by the time he tells the story 10 times, the fish has grown. You know, they always say, they exaggerate. Sometimes people use exaggeration when they say something bad about other people. And to make more interesting, they exaggerate. Or they say they were just stretching the truth. What about a polite lie? Can a lie be polite? Sometimes people approach you and you tell them, can we meet this time? And the person says, oh, no, I can. I don't have the time. Or I know I'm so busy. Or I have a scheduling difficulties. That's what is called the polite lie. There's nothing polite about it. That in itself is a lie. If somebody who really wants to not tell you the truth, say, actually, I don't want to meet with you. I'm sorry, but I'm going to be doing something else. But instead, they lie. One thing that's very common in our society, which is even dangerous, is the word fib. A fib is a fib. Oh, a lie that is, you know, that is easy to forgive, because it's not a big deal, people say. That's why we call a fib. For example, a child may tell a fib by claiming when he goes to the school and has not forgot to do the homework. He says, oh, teacher, the dog ate my homework. They said that's a fib. I have here a list of American fibs. They call American fibs. I call American, this is just lies. Very cool lies. But they call a fib. The check is on the mail. I will start my diet tomorrow. Gee, you haven't changed a bit. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Money cheerfully refunded. Some store have that. All money cheerfully refunded. One size fits all. This offer limited. I heard this so many times. This offer limited to the first 100 people who call in. Your luggage is not lost, sir. It is just misplaced. Leave us your information and we will get right back to you. This hurts me more than hurts you. I just need 5 minutes of your time. Your table will be ready in few minutes. Open wide, the dentist said to you. It won't hurt a bit. And then they come with that noisy machine that it drives you nuts. Let's have a lunch sometime, some people say, but they want to get out of there as quick as possible. It is not the money, it's the principle, they say. What about another one they call a white lie? There's nothing white about it. It is just a dark lie. Lie is a lie. They claim that the white lie is a white, they call white lies because it says it's harmless, especially when it's told you are to be polite or to avoid hurting somebody's feelings. No, every lie is hurtful. Every lie is a lie. Austin O'Malley said this, a lie has no legs. It requires other lies to support it. Tell one lie and you are forced to tell others to back it up. Stretching the truth won't make it last any longer. Those that think it is permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind. Abraham Lincoln said, no man has a good enough memory to make a successful liar. We are almost done here with the list. Here is the one who it bothers me a lot among all those that we have listed so far. I didn't even know that there was such a term. There's a term called lie to children. Lie hyphen to hyphen children as a term, lie to children. It's a phrase that describes a simplified explanation of a technical or complex subject as you're teaching to children or you're teaching to lay people. This terminology is used in biology, and I'm not surprised, in evolution, in bioinformatics, and also in social sciences. This expression is even used in the Forbes magazine. 30 years ago, a U.S. Today poll found that only 56% of all Americans taught honesty to their children. Half, a little bit over half, taught honesty to their children. Also, a Lewis Harris poll from the same time turned up the distressing fact that 65% of high school students have no problem cheating on their important exams. Proverbs 22, verse 6, New Century Version says, train children to live the right way. And when they are old, they will not stray from it. Let me paraphrase. Tell your children about truth. Show them what truth is. Tell them how rewarding it is to follow the truth. And even when they are old, they are still going to be on the truth. They are still going to be with the truth. And if you want to know, that is the only way you can really guide your children, is to the truth. The third John, verse 4, because there is only one chapter, it says, I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. Brothers and sisters, if you don't teach your children, they may become a liar. If you don't teach them the value of truth, Did they make him a liar? And even a pathological liar. Yeah, that's another term. When people insist that they lie as a habit. Let me illustrate by telling you a true story. Bob Harris, I don't know if you ever heard this name before. Bob Harris, though he had studied math, physics, and geology at three different colleges, he left his school without a degree. But he had this strong ambition and desire to become a media weatherman. So he decided to pick up a phone and he called WCBS TV in New York. And he introduced himself as a PhD in geophysics. And he said he got his degree from Columbia University. The phony degree got him in to the door. After 2 months of tryout, he eventually was hired as the off-camera forecaster for the WCBS. For the next decade, for 10 years, his career flourished. He became very well known throughout the whole country. And he became the Dr. Bob. He was also hired by the New York Times as a consulting meteorologist. The same year, the Long Island Railroad and also the baseball commissioner at that time, Mr. Kuhn, hired him. At the age of 40 years, at 40 years of age, and living his childhood dream. In 1979, he found himself in a public disgrace, a national humiliation. When somebody sent a letter to the WCBS management and informed them, please investigate this individual's credentials. After they did the investigation, they found out that it was a phony degree. So he was immediately fired. The station and the New York Times fired him. And humiliated, he was invited to tell his story. He went and became a guest on Today's Show. Then he went to the Tomorrow Show. And then he went to the People Weekly Show. And then he went to many more other shows. And he told everyone his story and how humiliated he felt and how sorry he was. He thought, my life is over. I'm going to lose my home. I'm going to lose my marriage. I'm going to lose my reputation. I'm going to lose everything. Several days after this scandal, the Long Island Railroad and the Baseball Commission, they made an announcement that they would not fire him. But it was too late for his marriage because his marriage was over. And then the WNEW TV gave him a job. Then he admitted it was the worst mistake that he made in his life. This is what he said. I'm quoting him. I took a shortcut that turned out to be the long way around. And one day the bill came due. I will be sorry as long as I shall live. And the last expression that I'd like to share with you is the one that applies for the title that we have for this message. Is the phrase, is speaking with a forked a forked tongue. You know that the tongue of a serpent, where there is a split like this? That's what a forked tongue means, to deliberately say one thing when actually you mean something else. Writing letters of recommendation can be very difficult. I know, because I have written quite a few of them. It is very, very difficult, especially when you know some facts about the person who is asking you to write a letter, that if you share, that person will never go anywhere. So what people do sometimes, they go around trying to create, be very creative how to say things without offending and even without telling the truth. Robert Thornton, a professor at the Lehigh University, thought about a solution, how to be litigation free by creating a lexicon of phrases that people could use as they write recommendation letters to avoid being sued. And he created this lexicon of intentionally ambiguous recommendation. If you pay close attention to the letter, for each word, it spells out liar. Lexicon of intentionally ambiguous recommendations. Liar. Here are three examples that he had in this book. To describe on an ex-employee who had problems getting along with fellow workers, he wrote, "I am pleased to say that this candidate is a former colleague of mine." Second, to describe an unproductive candidate, he wrote, "I can assure you that no person will be better for the job." And thirdly, to describe an applicant not worthy consideration, he wrote, "I would urge you to waste no time in making this candidate an offer of employment." Now, what this appropriately called the liar is because this is those are statements to try to cover the truth. So they are lies. All three of them are just lies. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, 4 was our scripture for this morning, and I add verse 5. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. I don't know what version do you have, but I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says like this: "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" That was a lie. But the fact that he presented himself as the serpent, that was a lie. Serpents don't talk. Then verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open." That's a lie. "And you will be like God." That's a lie. "Knowing good and evil." That's a lie. Everything was a lie. "You will not surely die." This is when the devil created the concept that even today we're using 6,000 years later, it is still being used in pulpits, in hymns, in books, by the daughters of Rome, by Rome, by the Orthodox Church, by Hinduism, in Shintoism, and all the other isms, all the other religions, they all have a version of the same lie. "You will not surely die. Seventh-day Adventists, I'm not going to be very thick on this. I'm just going to give a brief statement about it. We as a church made one terrible mistake as an organization. When we create our hymnal book, we went and borrowed hymns from the Daughters of Babylon. And we did not check them carefully. Maybe because the copyright laws may not allow them to make the change. Or I don't know. I wasn't there. I have no idea why. But they took those hymns to our hymnal book. Also, Bible versions have assimilated some bias on this same thing and brought into our own denomination the concept that a human being is a person who has a soul. The Bible says we are a soul, but our culture tells us we have a soul. What is the problem with the word soul in a context that the world uses, and that culturally we are also daily using this? Is a cover up for the sentence that Satan told our mother Eve, and then our father Adam, and everybody else for 6,000 years: you will not surely die. Today we have all the expressions. When we talk about our deceased family member, sometimes we refer to the person as the body. Where did you put the body? We use the expression departed, as if the person went somewhere. Some people say, but Pastor, that's not a big deal. Oh, yes, remember when I told you the polite lie, the Phoebe? That's another lie when Satan tells us that is not a big deal. If it's not a big deal, why Satan have taught every single religion, every single culture all over the world for 6,000 years? He keeps insisting. He keeps saying, you will not surely die. Can you imagine a parent telling a child, trying to explain why grandma is no longer here or grandpa is no longer here? Oh, you know, grandma is there in heaven with Jesus now. Or that little child that is hurt so badly because his little puppy died. And here comes the parent and tells that child, your puppy is with Jesus now. All the people that hit the baseball, all the people that score a touchdown, all the people who win a championship, and then they point to heaven, to the sky, they have been told a lie. They have been told that their loved ones are there somewhere looking down at them. It is a lie that has been a lie for 6,000 years. And among this lie, what is very damaging is that Satan told Eve, your eyes will be open. Just the opposite, the eyes were closed because now they were no longer being able to see the glory of God the way they saw before. So now their vision was even worse than it was before. Before they really had 100% vision, but now not anymore. Sin has blinded them. Darkness has entered their eyes and blurred their vision. Another lie that Satan said, and this is a very serious one. All of them are serious, but this is very extremely damaging. He says, you will be like God. That's a lie. Because you see, he implies that God knows good and evil, that God is the creator of evil, that God is responsible for evil, that you now are going to be just like God. You know what? he was not referring to the Creator, because the Creator is not the one who has good and evil on him, but he was referring to himself, because at that moment, he became their God because they listened to him instead of listening to their Creator. So the God here actually is a small G-O-D. When he told his angels in heaven that they could rebel against God and they were supposed to serve him, one third of the angels adopt Lucifer as their God. At that moment, Adam and Eve adopt him as their God. And yes, they became like their God, knowing good and evil, because Lucifer knew good and he rejected good and he became evil. So he knew good and evil, and he does know good and evil. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus says this: "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to do what he wants." He was a murderer, a destroyer from the beginning, when sin was found in his heart. And he was against the truth. And you know who the truth is, right? And he was against the truth. And he, because there was no truth in him, when he tells a lie, and by the way, a lie, any kind of a lie, all lies are lies, he shows what he is really like, because he is a liar and the father of all lies. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth," the same truth that the devil is against. "And I am life, because the devil is the murderer, but I am the life. The devil is a liar. I am the truth. The devil is the path to destruction. I am the path to eternal life. I am the only way to the Father. It's only through me." John 14, verse 6. Brothers and sisters, if you have any doubt that any person when dies is still can hear you or you can talk to, let me tell you, anyone who ever told you that they talk to their dead parent, they actually talk to Satan, to demons. Because the Bible says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing." How much? Nothing. Children, you can say with me, the dead knows nothing. Which that means? Nothing means nothing, not a little bit, not a nothing. And the Bible continues by saying, "And they have no more reward." By the way, when people say that person went to heaven because that person is good, that is a reward. Or that person went to the purgatory just to barbecue a little bit and then go to heaven afterwards. And the priest would tell people, "Oh, you must pay for a mass, at least three of them, so that to make sure that your beloved one." It's a blackmail. It's emotional blackmail. It says, "No, no, pay us a mass and I will pray and your loved one will go from being barbecued a little bit into the perfect heaven." I know, I was there. I know exactly what they teach. And then says the verse, "For the memory of them is forgotten." What it means, this verse, it says, there is no communication to those that go to the grave. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 is a Bible verse that has been misunderstood and twisted around to say something that actually the text does not say. I'm going to read from you from a contemporary English, from a common English Bible. It says like this, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. "Before dust returns to the earth as it was before, and the life breath returns to God who gave it. No spirit goes to God. No soul goes to God. A person who dies is a dead soul. A person who is alive is a living soul. Any other soul is a lie. Any other understanding about the soul or use of the soul is a lie. So my brother and sister, if you wanted to be 100% biblical and not tell the lie that the devil has convinced in the culture and everybody's saying, when you say God bless your soul, don't say that because that's not correct. Say God bless you. God bless your life. God bless your heart. It's fine to say God bless your heart. God bless your mind. But don't ever say God bless your soul, because it's implied that is a part of you that is called soul. And that's what the devil wants people to believe. We do not have a soul. We are a soul. A few weeks ago, one of the very, very high leader of the church, the Seventh Adventist Church, was asking a closing prayer for many pastors. And this person said, may God bless your soul. We have heard that this, many people use this expression. That is not correct, brothers and sisters. That is a lie. God cannot bless our soul. God can bless us because we are a soul. Ephesians 6:12, contemporary English version. We are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. What do they call tonight? They call, I can hear I can imagine the children say, oh, Pastor, they call Halloween. You know what the word Halloween means? Halloween means a holy evening. That's a lie. Do you know why they call this a holy evening? Because the Roman church took a pagan worship of the dead, a dark celebration of a communication with the dead, with the Bible forbids. People in Israel were sent to death for doing witchcraft. The Roman church took that pagan, and on November the 1st, the Roman Catholic Church established as the All Souls Day, in reference to all the dead. And then they call the second All Saints Day. So the reason for celebrating the night before is because they say it is holy, because the next day is a day of all the saints. It's All Souls Day. It's all a satanic lie. When you tell your children that it's okay to dress like the devil, and then later on, your children start acting like the devil, and you wonder why. You tell your children that it's okay to play games with ghosts, which is demons, and then you'll be amazed what your children will turn into be in the later life. There is only one evening that is holy, and that was last night. Every beginning of the Sabbath is a holy eve. And I wish that we as Seventh-day Adventists, biblical Seventh-day Adventists, would stop referring to the beginning of the Sabbath as Friday night. But instead, we would say, oh, the Holy Eve. And everybody will know, oh, he's talking about the beginning of the Sabbath, the evening part of the Sabbath. Every week, we have a Holy Eve. Every week. But tonight, there's nothing holy about celebrating the darkness, the evil spirits, the dead. The dead knows nothing, but the devil knows. And the devil talks and pretends and deceives. And unfortunately, many people who call themselves Christians are putting costumes, imitating the world. They are fascinating of the power of darkness, and they think that it's fun. Let me share with you, and we are about to close. In Proverbs 19, verse 9, New Living Translation, it says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and a liar will be destroyed. Let me repeat, a false witness will not go unpunished, and a liar will not be destroyed. It doesn't matter if it's a TB. It doesn't matter if it's a polite lie. If it doesn't matter if it's disinformation. It doesn't matter if it's a fake news. Whatever lie is a lie. And the wages of sin is death. And so Proverbs says, will be destroyed. And you want the closing text that will tell about destruction. Look in Revelation 21, verse 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which says, the cowards. And many people lie because they are cowards. They are afraid of the consequence, so they are cowards. It says the cowards, the unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft or celebrate the witches or the demons, the idol worshipers, and here it comes, and all liars. What is going to happen to them? The verse says, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death, or meaning this is the end of all lies and liars, the eternal death. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, New King James, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death itself. Today we have this fascination with death because the devil had turned death into a fun thing. To tell people to be careless, not to fear death, because as he said to Eve, death is a lie. God told you a lie. God told you that you die, but you don't. You're just going to go somewhere. And there you're going to be looking down and you're going to be talking to your loved ones. That is a lie. What is then this deadly lie that refused to die? The lie is there is no consequence for our wrongdoing. We see in the streets young people. They don't fear anything anymore. They don't fear to break the law. They don't fear consequence. They have been lied to by their liberal, sometimes teachers. They have been lied to by their own parents that did not tell them about the. When we do bad things, we have to face consequence. They don't fear the consequence anymore. They are going on playing with death. Is the death is just a joke. They play with the evil spirits is that with Satan is not somebody to be feared. Ephesians 6, verse 11. With this text, I close I conclude the message for today. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, which says, put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. The reason why I chose this text is because if you want to put a costume on, if you want to dress up with God's armor, if you want to take a stand against the tricks, trick or trick, you know, the tricks of the devil, make sure that you have God's armor on. You stand for God and God will stand for you. God said that he is life. The death is the end, not the fun. There's nothing fun about death. Don't celebrate death, because that's what you're going to get. Celebrate life. Celebrate life. And life will be given to you. Teach your children the value of life. Teach your children the value of truth. Don't tolerate any lie. Because if you tolerate a little lie, that lie will grow and become a bigger one. Today, the lie of your children may be making you a victim. Later on, as they grow lying, they will make other people victims. But one person that will be always the first victim will be themselves. Don't tolerate lies. Don't practice cultural lies. Don't say that today is Saturday because today is not Saturday. That's a lie. Don't say that tomorrow is the weekend because that's a lie. Don't say that the Bishop of Rome is Abba because that's a lie. Don't call the first day Domingo, the Lord's Day, because that's a lie. Don't tell anybody that you have a soul because that's a lie. Don't go on believing that you cannot die because that's a lie. Don't go on telling people there's no consequence for a little lie because that's a lie. Be free from lies. Serve the truth. Invite the truth to your life. May God give you the power to live in truth. God bless you.
At this time, we will have the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Donna Tyag. Please turn to hymn number 645, God of Our Fathers.
Bye.
I'd like you to bow your heads for the benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you the power to live a true life, a life that is real, a life that reflects Him. May the Lord give you the power, a courage to always tell the truth and live with the truth, by the truth, with the truth. May the Lord give you the guidance that you need in order to be able to reflect His image in everything that you do. And when Jesus Christ comes, may your ears listen to the invitation to the kingdom. May the Lord bless you because He redeemed you. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.